Today is 09-09-09, and it won't be that for a long time. And I'm amazed at the fact that in 2 days, it's going to be 9-11 again. But anyway, Mark is wanting to do a discussion tonight entitled "The Christian Evangelist." And I was talking to Mark earlier, and he said that he wanted to talk about what makes up an evangelist. What are some of the attributes of an evangelist? We remember in the Bible Philip, the evangelist. The eunuch was in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah and didn't understand it. And he said he needed somebody to help him understand it. And so Philip was caught up in his chariot with him, or got up into his chariot with him, and began to explain to him the gospel. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Well, so there in a nutshell is what an evangelist is. An evangelist is a person that promotes the gospel, that teaches the gospel, that explains the gospel further, that makes it more clear. Evangelists do not save people, in contradistinction to what a lot of people teach. No evangelist has saved anybody, including Billy Graham. And Bonky, or whatever his name is, out over there in Africa. He does not save one soul. Neither is Benny Hinn, neither is Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts, R.C. Sproul, Larry Phillips, Mark Phillips. Think of the most renowned evangelist that you can think of, D.L. Moody, or Billy Sunday, or Charles Finney, excuse me, or Billy Graham, or John Wesley, or George Whitfield, Charles Spurgeon. Not one of those people has saved anybody. Jesus Christ is the one that does the saving, not evangelists. And so the first aspect of a Christian evangelist is that he's obedient to the Word of God. We are told to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all things that I've commanded you. And that includes a lot of things. Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Do this in remembrance of me. As oft as you come together, do this in remembrance of me. Breaking of the bread, drinking of the wine, commemorating the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of Jesus as a confession to others that you have been buried and rose again in Christ. Buried in baptism. Buried with Christ and rose again. Now, why would an evangelist do that? There's such a misunderstanding of evangelism today, reported by people like of now deceased D. James Kennedy under evangelism explosion. You know, there's no such thing as evangelism exploding. You know, evangelism does not sit on a fire cake, or the evangelism does not, you don't go into a fireworks store and put evangelism in there and light a fuse and all of a sudden you have an explosion. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Not of the will of the flesh. Now, we're going to talk about Christian evangelists. A Christian evangelist merely proclaims the Word of God, like Paul did. Christian evangelist doesn't use all kind of Arminian techniques, like, you know, almost persuaded, sad, that bitter wail, almost the lost. Scare ye. No, that's not the Christian evangelist. A Christian evangelist is proclaiming the fact that Christ came in the world to save sinners. Christ did not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And that God will judge the wicked and is angry with the wicked every day. Christian evangelist talks about the fact that Jesus Christ has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Christian evangelism teaches that all that the Father has given Him will come to Him. And those that come to Him, He will in no wise cast them out. Christian evangelist is not one that tries to beat on a pulpit until the back of his hand has bruises. He's not one that has his little evangelism workers go out and try to pull people down to the altar. That's not a Christian evangelist. That is Arminian heretic. That's what that is. God doesn't need anyone to save people. God is the one that does the saving. And He does it through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit and the power of His precious blood who died for all of His elect. Evangelism explosion, eh? What about these other techniques that so-called evangelists use? We're going to have a drama. Evangelism drama. No. You don't need to have Satan up there and with his little red, you know, horns and on the stage, and you don't need to portray all of that in graven images of Jesus wearing long hair and putting him up on a cross and pounding the nails so people hear the nails and all of that. You don't need to do that stuff. Look, if these people are Jesus Christ's elect, they are going to respond to the Bible. You know? The Bible. How about Romans 8:28 for the Christian evangelist? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. It's Christ that died, that's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Christian evangelists. Now the Arminian evangelist has a different idea. He's going to say things like, you could walk out of that door tonight and go to hell. Well, you wouldn't even have to walk out the door. And by the way, if you're not God's elect, you're going to hell. How come we are admonished to make our calling and election sure? How do we make our calling and election sure? Make our calling and election sure by continuing in the Word of God and praying and communing with Christ. as many as are ordained to eternal life will believe. Have you believed the gospel? If you believe the gospel, that's solid proof that you were ordained to eternal life. Do you disbelieve the gospel? Do you think it's just a big joke? Then there's some evidence there that you may not be ordained to eternal life. People say, well, that's ridiculous. That would make God unrighteous to do that. No, God is righteous. He's holy. He's perfectly righteous. But whether you like it or not, the Bible says He works all things according to the counsel of His own will, and that includes your eternal destiny, my friend. Your destiny is in the hand of your Creator. You're not your own Redeemer. You know, the song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. That's what it says. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. But the Arminian says, no, I like whosoever will may come. The whosoevers are God's elect, and the whosoevers are not. That's all I have to say. The whosoevers are not God's elect, and the whosoevers are. Because the whosoevers will. And it's not of the way, it's not of their will. Don't try to bring in what I call will worship. That's what Paul called it too, will worship. Why will ye die? The sheltering rock is so nearby. Well, let me tell you, it's not up to your will. God does a lot more than wiggle your willer. The Christian evangelist teaches that Jesus Christ made a perfect sacrifice for all of His elect on the cross. Not one drop of His blood was spilt. In other words, it wasn't wasted. Every drop of His blood was effectual for whom it was intended. Christian evangelist rightfully divides the word of God. Study to show thyself approved, a workman, needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Well, but I have to do something. No, you have to do nothing. Christ said, those who come as a little child. What's a little child? A little child doesn't, you know, execute their free will. Unconditional election is something that goes against the flesh. The children not being yet born, not having done any good or evil, while yet in their mother's womb, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Christian evangelism teaches the truth of the Bible. It doesn't come up with some half-baked, twisted view that man has to be a cooperative agent with God. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the completed work of Christ I cling. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin, the double cure, save from wrath, and make me sure. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Christian evangelist. Well, but I like to be able to say that I did something. Well, you might want to say that, but you did nothing. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You could do nothing because you were dead. But I could have resisted him. No, not if you're God's elect. That's irresistible grace. Well, yeah, but God died for everybody. No, he didn't. He died for a particular people. And you can find that right in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you want to look in there, you'll see that. Well, but I can sin anytime I want to, not if you're one of God's elect. God preserves his elect, and when they sin, he gives them the gift of repentance, to repent of their sin. Well, but I could backslide. Well, when you're backslidden, if you're one of God's elect, you will come back to the fold. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Christian evangelists, that's what they teach. They don't teach any other gospel than the gospel of the Bible. Well, but I like to hear different views of theology. Well, you may want to hear different views. Maybe you want to hear John Wesley's view. John Wesley did not believe in unconditional election. He believed a person's salvation was left up to the free will of man. He denied total depravity. He believed that we all had a spark of good in us and were born and created in the image of God. And that spark stayed with us all the way through the fall. John Wesley did not believe we were totally depraved. He believed that we still had a spark of good. We just had a bent towards sin. And he certainly did not believe in particular redemption. He believed that Christ made it possible for all men to be saved, and he definitely believed in resistible grace. The only people that are going to resist God and blaspheme his holy name and his covenant and finality are going to be the reprobate. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some do it before death, some do it after. Well, John Wesley also believed that a person could backslide after, in other words, they could lose their salvation. Rip that 23rd Psalm right out of your Bible, because it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord until I backslide. No, it doesn't say that. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Christian evangelism. That's what the reality of the Bible teaches. Well, people are just into eternal security and that it's cheap grace. Well, a lot of people are promoting cheap grace. But grace is the most expensive thing in the world. It costs the blood and the death of God's dear Son. There's nothing cheap about that. Well, yeah, but we have to do something. We can't just sit on the sidelines. Well, let me tell you this. You're not even sitting on the sidelines. You go to a football game, the people sitting on the sidelines aren't dead. And I'm here to tell you, you're dead when you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You cannot do anything until the Holy Spirit quickens and regenerates your heart. If you're sitting on the sidelines and the coach says, come on in the game, you're going to jump up off the bench and go in the game. Unless you're effectually called by God, you're not going to do anything. Lazarus, come forth. No, I think I'll stay in my coffin for a while. We're talking tonight about Christian evangelism, the Christian evangelist. We're talking about the realities of what's going on in our world and what is being taught in the cemeteries of this nation, who are funded by the Rockefellers and the international banking community. People say, well, you seem awful critical. Well, the Bible says there'll come a time when they'll no longer endure sound doctrine. One of the fruits of the Spirit exemplified by a true Christian evangelist is they will actually be going by the Bible, not some newfangled version of the Bible, like the New International Version, or the Living Bible, paraphrased edition, or whatever. These are all marks of the true evangelist, if they are using an authorized King James 1611 edition of the Bible. You can say, well, you're a legalist. No. But when people start trying to change the Word, by the way, when they try to change the Word, it's no longer the Word of God. Because the Word of God cannot be broken. Jesus Christ said that. And also, if you read the 119th Psalm, you'll see that as well. He preserves His Word. My Word is a lamp unto my, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So, the Christian evangelist does not change the Word of God, does not alter the Word of God or add to it. Well, we're just trying to make it more clear. We take out the these and the thous. Well, how great you are, Lord, or how great thou art. There is so much going on in our society today about these young whippersnappers that get out of seminary and they think they know it all. And they don't know anything. All they know is what they've been taught by these godless professors that deny the virgin birth. They deny creation. They promote Darwinian evolution. They promote common grace. That's not a Christian evangelist. There's no such thing as common grace. Grace is the most uncommon thing there is. Now, I know I've covered all these points before, but we're tying it into what constitutes a Christian evangelist. A Christian evangelist comes against these false doctrines of common grace and the false doctrines of evolution, that the earth really evolved millions and millions and millions of years ago, and the denial of the virgin birth, and the denial that Moses actually crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and that Jericho, the walls of Jericho, actually fell down, and that Jonah actually was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights. And that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego actually were in the fire, and the Son of God, like the fourth man under the Son of God, was in the fire with them. And that Daniel was actually in the lion's den, and that Samson actually killed all those Philistines and tied those foxes' tails together and set them on fire. And they call that fables, but yet they want to take on the fables of people like, who was a renowned occultist like C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, Harry Potter series, and all this other garbage that's out there right now. That's not being a Christian evangelist. Going to the Passion of Christ is not evangelism. The Passion of the Christ is an adulterous, blasphemous movie. And people said it was a great evangelism tool. It was not an evangelism tool. It was a tool of Satan. promoting Mary as co-redemptress with Christ, promoting Roman Catholicism. That's all it was about. Screwtape letters, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, White Witches and Harry Potter, and these are all good according to people like Focus on the Family and different organizations that are supposed to be Christian evangelists. What about Christianity Today? They're supposed to be evangelizing the world. They are full of lies and hypocrisies, and every manner of deceit is coming from them. Well, we've covered a lot of ground about what constitutes a Christian evangelist. Now I'm going to have Mark read a passage of Scripture that I think is applicable to what a Christian evangelist is and a Christian evangelist should teach. Now, a lot of people are going to disagree with this being the right application for evangelizing. I think it is the perfect application for evangelism. Paul was called by the will of God to be a preacher unto both the Jews and the Gentiles. And he calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he preached many sermons. Paul did. Now a lot of people are now trying to recreate a different Paul. They're trying to say that Paul is not the Paul that has been promoted all these years or whatever. Just another way of trying to change scriptures. But Paul was very clear about the gospel and what it meant to be called by God. Now I want you to go to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and he talks about his ministry. A person that's actually preaching and teaching the Word of God, an evangelist, is in ministry.
Second chapter of 1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Now, one of the things that Paul talks about is not getting involved in dishonesty and deceit when you're in the ministry, like evangelism. So let's just read down through. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2 of chapter 4.
1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians.
No, I said, sorry. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Notice Paul says that if you're a true Christian evangelist in ministry, that you renounce hidden things of dishonesty, and you don't walk in craftiness, and you don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, he's talking there about the reprobate again.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Basically, he's reaffirming election and predestination and regeneration to God's elect. The light of the gospel is going to shine unto God's elect. That's a guarantee. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Evangelists didn't do it. God did it. God did it. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and He shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He's saying it has nothing to do with the evangelists, that the power comes from God.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Now, I'm going to stop there for tonight, but the point is, another point is, if you're a true Christian evangelist, you're going to be suffering persecution. You're not going to be well-liked. You know, someone said about Billy Graham, there was never a man that didn't like him. Well, they just never met Larry Phillips, because Larry Phillips doesn't like him. But anyway, these are the characteristics of a true evangelist. They're willing to suffer persecution. They're willing to be ostracized. They're willing to teach and preach the whole counsel of God, including predestination, election, reprobation. They're willing to go to places other people aren't willing to go to. They're willing to be misrepresented as to what they're teaching. When they know they're teaching the truth of God's Word, they're willing to stick with the old gospel and not the new gospel. They're willing to proclaim the virgin birth of Christ. They're willing to proclaim Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in the lion's den, and Jonah in the whale, and Moses crossing the Red Sea. And they're willing to proclaim that Jesus turned the water into wine, and that He took a few fishes and a few loaves of bread and turned it into a meal for 5,000 people. They believe it. And they denounce the fables of C.S. Lewis. They denounce Harry Potter. They denounce evangelism explosion. They denounce the modern day evangelists who are not standing for the truth of His Word. Father, we pray that You would take this lesson. Pray that You would shine the light of the glorious gospel in the hearts of all of Your elect, which we know You will do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.